Morning, everybody. Those listening online, good morning. Jackie in Texas, Jim in Maryland, Mark over in North Tonawanda, Terry and Barb down in Arizona, everyone else who's listening, good morning. Last week we talked about having a thankful heart and how it impacts our lives, how it impacts the way we do things, how when we are thankful, we are more cheerful in our attitude, we are more forgiving, more loving. This week I want to talk about having a wounded heart. Guess what? If a thankful heart makes everything look good, guess what a wounded heart does? A wounded heart makes us look at everything in a sort of negative light. And we'll talk about that for a little bit today, and because we recognize there's a lot of that going on around us. The front of the bulletin, we have a really high quality, deeply detailed picture. A heart with a bandage and a frown and a stitches and an IV bag and a bandage. But a heart gets wounded. A heart gets wounded from a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about that. In the Bible, when it talks about a wounded heart, it doesn't always say a wounded heart. It talks about something, other ways of saying the same thing. A broken spirit. My heart is burdened within me. All of these ways of saying it. Basically, it means I'm overwhelmed by circumstances. I have been hurt, and it's impacting everything in my life. Psalm 109. Verse 21 says, "But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens, and I am shaken off like a locust." Do we ever feel like everything is coming against us and we have absolutely no strength? We have, seems like everything we try just sort of falls apart. Can't seem to find any encouragement anywhere. There's a time when David felt that way, and he said, "When I could find no one to encourage me, I encouraged myself in the Lord." Sometimes we have to do that. I'm not saying it's easy. But there are times when things just seem to be stacked up against us. Nothing seems to be working out. And we get overwhelmed by our circumstances. We get overwhelmed and everything looks like it's falling apart around us. Recognize that even then, God has us engraved in the palm of His hands. Even then, God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We are not alone. We may feel alone. We may feel dejected. It may feel like nobody understands what's going on. I try to pour my heart out to people and all they can do is point out my faults. "Gee, you should have done something different." Well, praise God. Thank you for that encouragement, brother. Anybody ever get that? I certainly have. We get overwhelmed sometimes by our circumstances because our heart gets wounded. And heart can get wounded because somebody did us wrong. Our heart can get wounded because we don't understand our circumstances. Our hearts can get wounded because things just didn't seem to go right. Maybe we're overwhelmed at work. Maybe we're overwhelmed in a relationship. Maybe you've got, as many of us have, a child that has taken some wrong paths. We get overwhelmed because we pour our hearts and lives into somebody and then they just up and walk away. There's a lot of things that cause us to get wounded in our heart, wounded in our spirit. You try to do something nice and you try to help somebody and they misunderstand and accuse you of all sorts of evil things. Your heart gets hurt. Your heart gets wounded. It happens. It happens to each and every one of us. And when there's no help in sight, when everything seems to be falling apart around us, we may not be able to see some answers. But it tells us right here in verse 21 of Psalm 109, But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. We cry out to the Lord. Crying out to other people doesn't help, does it? We cry out to the Lord. And even then, sometimes it seems like He sure is taking a long time to answer. My Bible tells me those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, this is what your word says. I'm looking at it right here. There's a passage. I think it's in Ezekiel, but there is a passage where the children of Israel, or not the children of Israel, the people from Judah, the tribe of Judah is in Babylon. They've been taken away captive. This is after the northern kingdom has been taken away. They're there for the 70 years. And the passage says, the summer is over, the year is long spent, and we are not saved. God, we're waiting on you, and the answer just hasn't showed up yet. That broken spirit, that wounded heart that tends to get the better of us. And it's not new. It happens to everybody. If it hasn't happened to you, praise God. If it has happened to you, praise God. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Know that it's normal. The world will try to tell you, you should have it all together. Maybe even brothers and sisters, believers in the church, saying, gee, if you trusted God more, you wouldn't be upset. You wouldn't be depressed. That's a life in the pit of hell. Every last one of us get overwhelmed by circumstances sometimes. Each and every one of us. It's part of being human. It's part of living in this fallen world. And we need Jesus each and every day. Proverbs 17, beginning with verse 19, says, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Stop right there for just a minute. You know anybody that loves to stir things up? It's an indication of their heart. We ever catch ourselves loving to stir things up? It's an indication of our heart. And we need the Lord. How about the second part there? He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who's always boasting about himself, I was talking about how wonderful I am, or trying to do things for my own benefit. Guess what? When we're putting all that effort into puffing ourselves up, it's causing trouble, and it's going to cause our own trouble. Verse 20, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. We're talking about a wounded heart. I mentioned the scripture talks about it in different ways. But here's this contrast. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Being joyful and upbeat and trusting God and just knowing that even though I may not understand what's going on, I trust that God is in control, and it gives us a strength and an encouragement. It does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. When we get overwhelmed by our circumstances, it seems like nothing is working out. There is no hope. There is no way out of this. Lord, what in the world do I do? And then God's not answering on my timetable, because He almost never does it on my timetable. He always does it on His. Guess which one's right? But I learned to trust God in the middle of it. That broken spirit, that wounded heart, dries the bones, and it's the contrast to a merry heart does good like a medicine. A merry heart cheers us up. A merry heart gives us a better outlook and makes us more able to face even difficulties. But if we don't have that merry heart, we instead have that wounded heart or that broken spirit. When the difficulties come, they are so much worse. They are compounded because of the way we look at it. because we are already overwhelmed and obstacles come up and make it seem that much worse. It's still the same circumstance. The only difference is the attitude of our heart going in. And we go throughout this world. There are times when we have a wounded heart. There are times when we have a broken spirit. There are times when we find ourselves overwhelmed by circumstances. There are times when we're just completely overwhelmed. Seem like we're the victim. Seems like nothing we have done has made an impact. And that's just a messed up perception that we get from time to time. That's why it's so important to go back and recognize what God has already done in our lives. What God has already brought us through. The God of the universe, the God who spoke and the earth came into existence, who formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into him, who, when it says it's not good for man to be alone and there was no companion found for him among the animals, created Eve from his rib, that they two might become one flesh, loved him so much way back when, and continues to love him, even love each and every one of us now, loved the world so much that he sent his only son. That God is paying attention to the things going on in our lives. That God has watched all of our days. The word says that every time we think upon his name, it's written in the book. Not say anything. Every time we think upon his name, it's written down. God's paying that close of attention to us. Jesus said that we will all give an account for every word we speak. That means he's paying attention to everything we say as well. I don't know about you, that's pretty scary sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not scary. I'm saying it's amazing that the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, put the stars in place, called them all by name, calls us by name, and knows everything going on in our lives. We may find ourselves with a wounded heart, with a broken spirit, feeling like we're lost and all alone, but we're not. He is still with us. He is still guiding us. He is still at work. Proverbs 15, starting with verse 13, says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." That sorrow, that woundedness that happens when our spirit is broken, we have no hope within us. And if we have no hope within us, we need to appropriate that hope from outside, that God has not brought us this far to leave us here. He's brought us this far and he still has a plan and a purpose. Look back on the things that God has done. Look back on the ways he has shown himself faithful. Look back on those times when things looked like they're absolutely falling apart. There was absolutely no hope. You didn't know where you were going to get your next meal from. You didn't know where you were going to get any encouragement from. You didn't know where anything was going to come from. And all of a sudden, something came from out of the blue. Came from, you have no clue how or why. But all of a sudden, it showed up just at that moment that God was paying attention. Most of us have those testimonies where God has done something like that. Look back over it. Where has God shown his hand? And like, wow. Had to be God. My foot had almost slipped, David said, but you lifted me up. Verse 14. The heart of him who understands seek knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All of the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. That verse 15, all of the days of the afflicted, that wounded spirit, that wounded heart, that broken spirit, seems like nothing's going right. But when we have a merry heart, boy, look at all God's blessings. Look at the wonderful things God is doing. Don't understand why he's doing it, how he's doing it. Don't even understand how this is going to work out. But I know that God loves me. I know that God is in control. I know that God is at work. And because I know that God is at work, I have a confidence and an excitement about the things that he's doing. What if we don't have that? We just see the problems. We just see the obstacles. Psalm 38, beginning with verse 6. Just see if you can relate to this. Verse 6 says, "I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." Lord, everything is just stacked up against me. Lord, there is just problems and turmoil all around. Verse 7, for my loins are full of inflammation. I don't even feel good. Lord, my body's aching. I'm in pain. There is no soundness in my flesh. Everything just seems to be falling apart. Lord, every place I look, I see trouble. Every place I look, I see turmoil. Verse 8, I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart. Lord, I'm just so overwhelmed and pressed down. Verse 9 says, Lord, all of my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. God, you see me. You know where I am. You know what's going on. Verse 10, my heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it is gone from me. Lord, I don't even see any hope. Every place I look is turmoil. Every place I look is problems. I'm hurting. I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. My body just seems to be racked with pain. And every place I look, there is no help. There is no hope. Verse 11, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague. I can't even find any close companion that understands what I'm going through. This is a wounded spirit. This is a wounded heart. This is a broken spirit. I am overwhelmed by my circumstances, God. Have we been there? And do we know people around us that are currently there? Keep going. Verse 12, those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction. Lord, people that shouldn't have anything to do with me are all of a sudden coming up against me, saying it's my fault, saying whatever. I feel like I'm attacked on every side. Verse 13, but I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Lord, there's nothing I can even say. I have to pretend I don't even hear them. I can't answer them back because of the anger and the pain and the hurt in my heart, the hopelessness in my heart. Verse 14. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. Verse 15. For in you, Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord my God. We can't find hope in anywhere else. It seems like everything else is stacked up against us. Seems like every person we encounter just wants to pile on. Seems like they want to just pile on to the hurt we already have. You realize that's because of the how messed up our outlook is. We read about that a few minutes ago. How when our spirit is broken, it seems like everybody's against us. That's a real New English translation of Proverbs 17:20 says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good. Or verse 22, second half, talking about a broken spirit dries the bones. Or verse Proverbs 15:15, all of the days of the afflicted are evil. All of these things in there. When we're down, when our heart is broken, when our heart is wounded, when our spirit is broken, when we have no hope, people aren't necessarily even, don't even have to say anything bad to us or about us. But that's how it hits our ears. That's how we see it. We feel like we're more and more and more attacked, more and more and more being oppressed and downtrodden. But Psalm 38, passage we're reading, verse 15 says, for in you, O Lord, I have hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. When we don't see help anywhere else, anywhere around us, when everything seems to be against us, when our heart is wounded, there is only one place to turn. Newsflash, there is always only one place to turn. Okay? It's just, we don't really think about that when everything's going good. And that's the problem. Because if we don't give praise to God when things are going good, sometimes God will get our attention to get us to turn to Him and praise Him. But there is hope. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. So this is a passage that Jesus has quoted, and it's something for each and every one of us. Isaiah 61, 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and a day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, a planting to the Lord, a planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Isaiah the prophet declared this. Jesus quoted this. As followers of Jesus, that's our mandate as well. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Has God redeemed your life from destruction? Has He turned you around? Have you surrendered your will to Him? Lord, lead and guide me. Lord, become Lord of my life. I thank You for the shed blood of Jesus, which cleanses me from all iniquity. I thank You, Lord, that He paid the price for my sin on the cross, and not only paid the price for my sin, but because of my faith in Him, He imparts to me His righteousness. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, upon each and every one of us, to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We just talked about what a person with a broken heart, a wounded heart, a broken spirit, some of the things that they're going through. We've been there ourselves. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us to go and to reach into these people's lives, to try to bring hope and healing, because this world around us is hurting. If we go through it ourselves with the hope, with the recognizing what God has brought us through, how about those poor people that have never had that? How about those poor people that don't know the Lord? Those poor people whose lives is just an absolute shambles and an absolute turmoil, who have no hope because they don't know who Jesus is. We are called to heal a wounded heart. To heal the brokenhearted, Scripture says right there. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Do we know people that are so bound up in addictions, bound up in just their circumstances that they have no hope, they see no way out? We're called to proclaim liberty to the captives. I understand what it's like to be, to have no hope, to have an expectation of failure. I understand what it's like that everything seems to be going against you. I understand what that's like. But let me tell you about the love of God. And let me tell you what He did in my life. You know, I tell people I never expected to live to see 30. And most people say, yeah, that's a lot of young people say that. No. I never expected to live to see 30. Not just something cool and fun to say. I'm 60 now. But I shouldn't be here. If God didn't have a plan for my life, there is no way in the world I'd have been here. People who say there is no God, people who say that, you know, it's just survival of the fittest. Well, okay, that doesn't work. Because I'd have been dead a long time ago. 94,000 volts I hit. I was thrown 24 feet across the room and bounced off a wall. I hit 94,000 volts. I punched in a fuse in a motor generator set that was 4,600 volts standing in ankle deep water. Punched it in with my finger or with my thumb. Bitten by a moccasin, shot at, stabbed, an arrow in the head, a foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. I shouldn't be here. So when I tell you that God loves people and God wants to pour out His life and pour out His grace and pour out His mercy. I'm telling you the truth. You all have your own testimonies of what God has brought you through. We read in the scripture on Wednesday night, as we're doing that lesson, that we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives unto the death. Being willing to share what God has done in our lives. It's important. We have a world of wounded hearted people all around us. We have a world of people all around us that have no hope. And we need to share the hope that He has poured into us. We can look at the newspaper and you see turmoil after turmoil after turmoil. You look in the newspaper and you see lie after lie after lie. You see all of these things going on. So, the mayor of Portland, after New Year's Eve, decided that the riots by Antifa that he'd been putting up with for months had finally gone too far. They lit fire to a building that had a baby in it, or a young child in it, and wouldn't let the firefighters get there. Finally, it got to the point where people said, that's too much. I don't know about you, I thought that was too much a long time ago. We live in a world that needs the Lord. We are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. There's plenty of darkness. How's our light shining? I don't know about you, my light needs to shine brighter. I don't know about you, I need to tell more people about Jesus. I know about you, I don't know about you, but I need to be a better example, recognizing what God has done. Picture on the front of the bulletin. We got a heart with a bandage and a frown and an IV and stitches. We got a lot of snow coming off the roof. For those not here, we got about 6 inches yesterday. Kind of nice. Very pretty. We've got a world around us that needs Jesus. They have no hope. They have no expectation. They have the same wounded hearts and broken spirits that we all have gone through. But we have the answer. Read it a couple of times. Starting from the very first thing we did. Psalm 109, verse 21. But you, O Lord our God, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. Lord, help us to show your love to the people we encounter. Help us, Father, that our lives might point to you. That in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of everything that's going on, Father, that we would be a beacon of light in the midst of this darkness. That we would be beacons set on a hill. Not hidden, not put away, not turned off. But Lord, active beacons pointing the way. Pointing to the hope that you have made, that you have given. Help us, Lord, to show your world to show your love to a world that needs you so desperately. Help us, Father, to bind up the wounded hearts. To introduce them to your healing touch. Lord, to have that kind word and that graciousness, showing your love to the people we encounter, that others may see our good work and glorify our Father in heaven. It is not for our own glory, it is not for our own praise. It is instead, Lord, to lead people to you. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you have already done. You have shown yourself mighty in so many different ways. You've shown your love in so many different ways. Help us, Father, to share that love with a world that needs it so desperately. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.